Russ broke it.
Check.
There we go.
Good afternoon, Athens, Georgia. How are you feeling today?
Fantastic.
My name is Radical Russ Belbel. I am from Portland, Oregon, and I brought a little rain with me. Sorry about that. Nice to see y'all here. This is my first time in Athens, Georgia. It's pretty cool. I like being here. You guys are some great people, and I'm here with Peachtree Normal. You can find their booth down there underneath the big tent. PeachtreeNormal.org is the organization that represents the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, otherwise known as pot, weed, ganja, herb, cannabis, dank, diggity dank. If you're older, muggles, jive, tea, grass. How many people still call it grass anyway? But I'm here to tell you about this because it's a subject that sometimes gets a lot of giggles, sometimes gets people that don't think very seriously about it. Some people may think, oh, it should be illegal because it's bad in some way and we want to discourage people from doing it. Other people might think, nah, it really shouldn't be illegal because it's really not a big deal, but we don't want to make it legal because we don't want pot shops or whatever. And all of these opinions are valid, because we all have different viewpoints and backgrounds when it comes to this substance. But I'm here to tell you that it's happened already in Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska. I'm from Oregon. My home state has just reaped $5.3 million in tax revenue in their first month of legalized marijuana sales. Woo-hoo. Colorado has generated over $100 million in tax revenue from legalized marijuana sales. These tax revenues are going to help build schools, help to fund health budgets, and to help to contribute some more money to law enforcement and to drug education. And I think the important thing to understand about marijuana is you can hate it, you can love it, you could not care a bit about it. It really doesn't matter. It's here. And it's gonna be here. And it's never gonna go away. And people are always gonna smoke it, no matter how illegal you make it. There are countries, I just came down from the UN, I was at the United Nations covering a drug summit there. There are countries there like Indonesia and Singapore and China and Qatar and Saudi Arabia that'll still take your head for drug crimes. They'll execute you for drug crimes, and yet they keep still having executions. It's not stopping anyone. They keep using and selling and buying and growing the drugs, no matter what they are. So when we talk about a substance like marijuana, how you think or feel about it is irrelevant. It's gonna be here. Now the question is, the money that's generated from that, is it gonna help buy the local teenage weed dealer a new Xbox? Or is it gonna help to contribute to a school budget? Are the people growing it gonna settle their disputes with guns and warfare and violence? Or are they gonna settle it with lawsuits in a court, in a civil court? And I can tell you, from my own experience being in Portland, Oregon, that after we legalized marijuana, and we now have in my home city of Portland over 200 shops where people can walk in and buy marijuana like they'd buy liquor. IDs are checked. No kids are in these stores. The stores have frosted glass windows, so you can't even see what's in them. As far as anyone would know, you're walking into a place and walking out with a plain paper bag. Nobody knows what's going on. But since we've instigated this new policy with over 200 pot shops, the trains still run on time. People still go to work. Kids still go to school. Crime hasn't increased. There's been none of the sky is falling fear that people talk about when it comes to marijuana legalization. Pretty much things continue on the way they've been going. The people who have smoked pot, they're still smoking pot. The people who don't smoke pot, they didn't all of a sudden run to the shops to try it. There are a few people, say in their 50s or 60s, that maybe back in the day might have smoked a doobie at Woodstock, and then they go back to the shop to see what it's like now, and maybe they still use it, maybe they don't. But the main point is that nothing much really changed except diverting all of that drug money to tax money. That's really what changed. Now, I know here in Georgia, it's a whole different scenario. I'm originally from Boise, Idaho, where we had two strains of marijuana, got some and don't. And it's hardcore in Idaho. It's you know, deep Republican, red state, conservatism. In my home state of Idaho, it is a misdemeanor to merely be high. Like, you don't even have to have weed on you. If you test dirty on a pee test, it's a misdemeanor that gets you 3 months in jail. So I know what it's like to live in a place where law enforcement and society don't look very appreciative toward this particular substance. And that's where I like to remind people that we're talking about something that is scientifically, objectively, no argument, safer than alcohol. Far safer than alcohol.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not anti-alcohol. I like my occasional beer, cider, whiskey, wine, cocktail. But I think if we figured out that we can have how many places right on this street, right now, I see alcohol being drank right now. And they're not rioting, they're not going crazy, they're just sitting and having a good time. And the thing, that can exist with marijuana as well. Instead of forcing people to hide, instead of costing them their jobs, costing them their kids, the main reason I'm here today in Athens, Georgia, representing Peachtree Normal is because I used to be Normal's National Outreach Coordinator. I got a phone call from a lovely Southern woman one day who was telling me about how her daughter got pulled out of bed in a SWAT raid because some guy who had weed got popped by the cops when he started telling the cops where they'd been, and they'd been at her house, and so here come the cops with their automatic weapons pulling the girl out of the bed by her hair. She's right back there watching me. Pulling her out of the bed by her hair, holding automatic weapons to her head over, what was it, 0.3 grams, 3 grams, something?
1.5 grams,
or as I call it, out of marijuana.
Out of marijuana.
Now, the people in the town were shocked once they found this out. She's an upstanding member of the community, businesswoman. Everybody knows her. It's a small town in Georgia. And nobody could believe this level of prosecution, this level of police involvement, of violence, the threat of death here. And because she had had a tomato light, you know, if you've ever grown indoor tomatoes or something, she had an old tomato light in a garage sitting there, dusty, never been used for years. Cops found that and said, aha, marijuana grow operation, marijuana kingpin. And her 19-year-old daughter was looking at 26 years in prison. 26 years.
Hey, don't walk in front of the camera.
Because some guy at a party got caught with weed and said he was at this house and then went to that house and they found an old light in a garage. And next thing you know, your regular, rural, conservative Christian mom is having to deal with a daughter that might have to go to prison for 26 years. Now, fortunately, has some means, has some money, can get a lawyer, got all these things taken care of. But we're not all that fortunate. In the state of Georgia and all throughout the United States, marijuana prohibition is enacted in a disgustingly racist fashion. The ACLU has found that the likelihood of a black person getting arrested for marijuana is 4 times greater than someone pale like me. In some counties and cities around the United States, it can be as high as 13 to 16 times greater chance. And it's not because black folks use marijuana more than white folks, especially this one. It's because white folks tend to live in the suburbs and they can go down in the basement and they can hang out inside, where if you're living in the city, you're out on the stoop or you're in the park, you're easy pickings. This has led to a situation in America where we have more black men behind bars in this country now than all the total of slaves that existed in 1850. This is something author Michelle Alexander calls the new Jim Crow, a new way of discriminating against people. And this was confirmed in a magazine article, Harper's Magazine, just this month, confirmed John Ehrlichman, a former assistant of Richard Nixon, remember Tricky Dick? This former assistant of Richard Nixon admitted that they created the war on drugs as a way to undermine the black nationalist power movements and the hippie leftist movements of the 1970s that were anti-Nixon and anti-war. He outright admitted this had nothing to do with marijuana being dangerous. He admitted that if we made weed illegal, we could infiltrate, we could take down their leaders, we could undercut their meetings by busting whoever might be holding the joint on them at the time. So, in conclusion, Thank you for having me here in Athens, Georgia. It's part of my Legalize America tour, 50 states by the time I turn 50. I've got 23 so far. Nice to be here, and I encourage you to check out the booth for Peachtree Normal, peachtreenormal.org, so we can help your kids. You don't want your kid getting busted at UGA here and having to come back and live in your basement, right?
Right.
Right. So let's get behind peachtreenormal.org, help them out. I'm Radical Rush. You can find me on cannabisradio.com. I'm a talk radio host, live every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, available on iHeartRadio and iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you so much. Love y'all.